Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to the Blog Talk Radio show for the National Coalition of Women of Color in Construction. And our topic for today is the accelerating the growth of women of color in construction and contracting. We are here with your host, Karima Ali. Today is October 29th, 2008. And we are in the city of Stone Mountain, Georgia. Our topic, main topic, is the four major components necessary to start and grow businesses, and why it takes a sudden blow to your business to identify whether or not you need these requirements in order to be a part of a particular industry. And we take those very lightly, and those things that we take lightly are the human capital and social capital environments. I'd like to also mention today that we have a very, very enormous topic when it comes to social capital networks. We have a caller on. Caller from 770962.
Yeah, that's Nicole with Giovanna. Hey, Karima.
Hey, Nicole. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. Very good. We were talking about the, and you know better than anyone about the networking that it takes in order to sustain a business. I guess you are one of the very key individuals that I know that has started and become very successful based on just generally networking and creating both your human capital networks and your social capital networks. So therefore, you're able to have a more sustainable type of business, and it also gives you an opportunity to have a more financial comfortable business as well. When you have a base of people and resources to help you.
Exactly.
And I think when we first met, we talked about, I guess, candidly, the general contractor's license last year, and we said, you know, well, this is not something that's going to affect me. And as we both have witnessed here in the Atlanta, Georgia area, it's affected not maybe not you together, but wholeheartedly it will affect all of us. And so we jokingly talked about that, and we talked about, I guess, the lady that you met when you first got started, that she didn't want to share any information about the, you know, about the type of business that you wanted to get into, because she asked, why should she help you?
Mm-hmm.
And jokingly enough, she probably should have answered you, because I think you're one of her better competitors as well. Could you kind of enlighten some of the other callers on that, what some of your tactics was in terms of the networks that you came from, based on, you know, from CEFG, you created a base there, you created things with the city of Atlanta, you went and met with contractors, things of that nature. Do you mind sharing that?
Sure, no problem. I think the people that turned me down, and the initial, actually was two ladies that I initially met when I was just at the beginning stage, almost 4 years ago. Actually, what they did and said motivated me to push even harder, to be honest with you. And what I did from there, I went to people who would talk to me and who would sit down and tell me what it took to be a viable business. And from there, did what they recommended, you know, going to pre-bid meetings, going to any expos, any conference seminars, just out there and getting your name out there, letting people see your face, even if you have to show up at the plan holder's room every day for them to see your face. And I think that's a big part of it, for you to go to, you know, as many pre-bid meetings as you can, meet as many people who, not only the people who can give you a contract, but the people who work with the prime contractors and know what it takes, you know, what they're looking for from their contractors. So networking is definitely important, because knowledge is money. I mean, knowledge is really everything. You may not see the immediate results from networking and from talking to people, but down the road you will see how that will pay off for you.
Okay, and this is one of the subjects that that came aboard, was the interesting enough, there was something in an article in November 16, 2007. It's No World Borders Human Capital Network. It revitalizes the workforce in the workplace. And interestingly enough, it says innovative web-based systems identifies networks of human capital around the world more quickly and economically for efficient workplace management. And so, therefore, they're able to, based on human capital and the networks that they have, they can quickly recruit and assign projects around the globe based on the individualized skills of individuals. And when you were networking with these folks at the different venues, when you brought your presentation to them, was it based on who you were as a business owner, or was it based on the fact that you had a better motivational drive to you know, talk to these contractors based on what the woman motivated you to do? You saw that when you started networking, your revenue started to increase.
Definitely. Oh yeah, definitely. To me, I would attribute it to just feeling comfortable with you. You know, it may be quite a few people out there who can perform a certain duty or handle a particular job, but when it comes down to it, you know, if you had two tickets to a ball game, you know, and you, who would you call? You're going to call somebody you feel more comfortable with. And I think that's part of it. You know, I approach people in a more relaxed way, not just, you know, give me a contract. Just getting to know them, letting them get to know me, letting them know, you know, what my goals are, that I can, you know, put in 150% with anything that they try to give me. I will give it my all. So I think, and then also strategic alliances too have been very important to me.
And by mentioning strategic alliances, we have a caller in from the 330 area code. Caller from 330. Hello? Caller from the 330-703. Hello? Okay. This is a caller from Ohio. When you talk about strategic networks,
Hello?
Sure that, yes, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you now. I'm sorry.
Okay, very good. We got Mr. Lamont Porter on from Porter Cement in Akron, Ohio. And I'm glad Nicole was kind enough to introduce into, I guess, unknowingly to her about strategic alliances. And this is what, you know, to kind of, you know, get into a little bit more of what she was talking about. I didn't mean to cut you off, Giovanna, but I wanted to make sure that we had this gentleman online because he has been instrumental to the coalition in getting us our footprint in the Ohio area. You can go ahead, and you said the strategic alliances that you created, Nicole, basically has given people a comfortable level with you. So when they contract with you, they know that they know your character. They know,
exactly.
They know that, you know, if you say you can do this regardless of what the challenges are, you buckle down and you do it. But when you do certain things, I mean, you have to have a conscious thought about, who do I go to be able to expand my business? You know, what do you normally do to expand a business based on what you do for a living? And maybe you can kind of go over what you do in terms of your business is concerned.
I'm sorry, you're talking about me or the guy from Portland?
You.
The gentleman from Portland. Oh, okay. Not only do we do safety, we provide safety officers on a lot of the rehab projects, and right now we're in the airport also at a couple of the Conrad facilities and a lot of the rental facilities there. But we provide training, you know, all kind of safety training, 10-hour, 30-hour, health the health manuals also to your safety manuals. But also I ventured into public relations. I was just thinking before I called in to the station that I'm, you know, that saying jack of all trades and master of none.
Okay.
I don't think that's true because, to be honest with you, to keep your doors open, you have to be very diverse. And I do try to, you know, limit what I specialize in, but I try to not miss out on any opportunity, too, that's going to keep my business viable and growing. And so for us, that's where the strategic alliances come in, because the people I've met, for instance, I have a guy who raised manholes for me, and he and I met through a mentoring protege program. So he took my skills that I have, and we kind of mixed those together, and, I mean, we form a great team where contractors actually call us for jobs. We don't have to pursue jobs with him because they call us. So that's what I'm talking about forming relationships with people and trying to say, okay, you know, I may not be as strong in that area, but I know you are, so let's work together. And that's worked out well.
And we have also Robert Porter on from Porter Cement in Akron, Ohio. He's a second-generation contractor. Their business has been around for 40 years. And I'd like for him to kind of elaborate on when you have that kind of network, Mr. Porter, it's great when people call you to bid and they know the integrity of your company and they know the integrity of yourself as a business person and as a human being. They have a lot of respect for you. And I guess you guys have had a branded yourselves in Ohio as a minority woman-owned company as well. I guess it's your mom's company, and she passed it on to you all, to your brother.
Correct.
And your sisters. Can you kind of elaborate on what you guys do and what the networks that you guys have built? I mean, 40 years, I'm sure you have to gotten to know a few governors. It's a lifetime of work and wealth. If you don't mind to talk about what you guys do and about the
about the networking that you all have going with the coalition and all that.
Yes, and Karima, I thank you for having me to the show. The young lady is right. These are the things that we lack up north. The partnership with the major prime contractor so that you can come up and be a prime contractor. That mentor protege program, it is just taking off in this area. We've had it around here, but it was a hit or a miss. In the South, you get a little more support minority-wise. I'm just going to be honest. But we're a women-owned company, and my parents have been in business for 40 years in the Akron area, and I've been with the company for 20 years. I made sure that when we branded this company, it would be something that you remember the logo because we spent the time into the developing a logo. I mean, anything we touch, we're going to do the best. The work. We stand behind our floors as a super flat floor contractor, and we say that this is the best floor. Why? Because we take additives out of concrete that make it better. So, and that is our niche. You know, my dad, I mean, I go and look at drivers that have been in 25 years. They still look the same. It's the craftsmanship sometimes. And you know, you have to be a jack of all trades. You start out doing driveways. Well, now you're in excavation because you can't afford to have somebody tear the driveway out. Well, now you need to take that piece of equipment and go to East Ohio Gas and say, what do I got to do to dig, you know, do excavation for you? And sometimes you may not be able to carry that load. So it's good when you have a mentor protege program. You go and get that mentor and you say, hey, I got a project I'm looking at, and I can't afford the project, but I know if we partner on this, I can do the project. And that's what the mentor is looking for. A lot of times in the North, they're looking for a handout. Nothing's free. And so you're going to have to go and partner and make your mentor proud that he picked you up.
Well, you know what, Mr. Porter, it's not a Northern mentality. There's a, I think Nicole can profess to that. It's a mentality altogether. We have a lot of people who feel that just because they have a certification that they should be able to get the work and get mad at qualified people who qualify themselves on projects. So these are the type of individuals that have not built any kind of networks in their field or outside of their field in order to alleviate any type of strain on them. We have a caller from 952 area code.
Yes, hello.
Hey, how are you doing, ma'am?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
Very good. You're calling from what state?
I'm calling from Minnesota.
Okay, welcome, Minnesota. Are you just calling in to listen in, or you had a comment about what Mr. Porter was talking about?
I actually missed his comment, but I would like to chime in at some point during the broadcast, but
okay,
I don't
great.
Have anything to comment on right now, but you can continue, and I might chime in later.
Okay, great. Caller from 404-484-4989. Caller from 404-484-4989. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Mr. Porter. Mr. Porter.
Okay, I'm here. Yes, I want to make sure that, you know, you're right. It is something that we deal with all over. But the main fact is the Mentor Protege Program. And the coalition has been instrumental in pushing that, because there's a lot of things like the OSHA classes that the young lady said that they offer. That is something that we lack as minorities, and now they're requiring it more and more and more. In the concrete industry, you have to have a ACI certification, and that certification costs $700-$800 sometimes. It lasts for 2 years, but if you don't have certified ACI contractors, you can't even bid the work.
Let me read something to you, interestingly. I mean, to cut you off, but this is from the Accelerating the Growth of Women Businesses of Color. It's called Hidden Biases, Hidden Barriers. One of the studies said that lack of knowledge and information sets them up for failure. Many women continue to market their products and services to corporations and agencies. Unfortunately, they are hampered because of their lack of information inside relationships. So a lot of people, as you just said, have discovered that there, you know, there are all these different challenges that are coming up in our industry. And that's what me and Nicole was talking about earlier, right? When this general contractor's license hit the state of Georgia, it has crippled the minority programs in terms of being able to select individuals from a pool of contractors that have been typically historically used. And because of that lack of information that was not broad-based to the industry at large, because the law is very specific in Georgia about who can bid work and the structure in which that person can bid work. You know, as you said, like on the projects that you do at university hospitals in Cleveland, Giovanna Constructors has conceded to come aboard and design customized programs for the contractors that will help them be able to be qualified on projects. And so I think we had a conversation earlier today with the folks from the commission, and I think they didn't even understand that what we're trying to do is make contractors readily and available to be able to work with the prime contractors and to mentor those individuals. So when they hide this type of information up until the time that it's time to bid a project, you know, as I just said before, based on the research here from the Center of Women Business for Women of Color, you know, when they hide information and we don't have information exchange, that is a parallel for a lot of people who, you know, get to the head of the table. I'm sure Nicole and you got and Mr. Porter, you've seen this. People think they've gotten a bid, they put in the numbers, but then when it's time to qualify your bid as a business, they overlook you. Am I correct on this?
Yes, you are.
Nicole, you understand that the requirements for the city of Atlanta is more stringent than any contractor that, you know, the insurance requirements out there is just enormous. A lot of people bid those jobs and they use their certification to try to think they're going to be low bid, but they have to meet the insurance requirements, and that's been an obstacle too, right?
Oh, yeah, only because a lot of times I know, especially with these OSAP projects, here at Hartsfield Atlanta Airport, and with that's through the city of Atlanta, they require you to have the same insurance as the prime contractor, which is crazy. To me, it really is. Even with the they do expect you to come to the table the same insurance. So yeah, that definitely has been a hindrance.
And you see that with the with your area in Ohio. What I'm trying to relay to everyone that's listening in and that's on our in our chat room, and I see a few people in here. The whole industry at a whole is under attack for the lack of a better word, the folks who don't know better. And when they, you know, you waste a lot of time meeting, networking, but the information is not being placed properly in the hands of the people who are investing into their companies. No one ever has said in any of the meetings that I've been to that you must have at least an additional $7,000 or $10,000 markup in your bid in order to even qualify to be on the City of Atlanta's project. And a lot of people are not able to even write the underwriting for the City of Atlanta because of all the problems that they've had in the past. So, I mean, we're subject to a catch-22 on one level, but this is the reason why this talk show is so important. It's so important to individuals that are aboard and listening and trying to get information, but you have to take that information and put that into your business. We have a caller from 651-387.
Hi, my name is Lisa. I'm calling on behalf. Hello?
Hey, Lisa, how are you doing?
I'm fine, and yourself?
Wonderful.
I'm calling on behalf of the blueprinting project with Genoa. I'm trying to find out exactly how to do blueprints
Okay.
for construction.
Okay. All right. And
so I want to know how exactly to read blueprints.
Okay. Mr. Porter, could you elaborate on that a little bit? Mr. Porter.
All right. Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
Okay. Almost lost you. From the Atlanta standpoint, I can't really lead her into the direction, but the direction you should go in first is you should go and look at the library and pull out some architectural books and then immediately try to find some blueprint reading classes. Some of your contracting associations will offer blueprint reading classes. Go to these people and say, I want to know how to read blueprints. If they don't, if they're not receptive, there's always a avenue to blueprint reading through your MCAP programs. There should be something there in your minority development areas. The Urban League should be able to get you information on classes for blueprint reading. So, you know, Urban League in Atlanta, Urban League in Ohio, we have to use these as our tools. If you want to find out something, go to them and say, hey, I need to find out this job to make sure that we as people of color and of any type of
ethnicity.
I guess I would want to say ethnicity. It doesn't matter. We should be able to go black, white, green, or purple to the Urban League and say, hey, I need to know this. So you should try that, and if you don't get anything, you should make sure you get back to Ms. Karima, and we will make sure you get the right information.
We have a caller in 70 Soul Child. 70 Soul Child.
Hello, how are you?
Wonderful.
Yes, hello?
Yes.
Oh, good. Sorry, I wasn't sure if you could hear me or not. This is interesting because I'm researching becoming a general so that I can be my own general contractor and purchase investment properties.
What state are you calling from?
I'm calling from New York.
New York, okay.
Mm-hmm. And I was wondering, because I'm not exactly sure of the requirements. I've read so many different things. I was wondering, are you a general contractor? I only caught part of the show.
Okay. Let me answer two questions.
Okay.
The first question from caller 651. To get a little bit better understanding about what you're asking about is you want to learn how to read blueprints, okay? And there's a basic category in learning about blueprints, and what you have to do is to self-teach yourself, first of all. I'm an estimator, so blueprints and all that is second nature to me. So there are several books that you can go and get, and let me give you a name of a publisher that produces a print reading book. It's called Building Trades Print Reading Part 1. It is by Elmer W. Sundberg, Sunberg, and Thomas E. Proctor. It is an AIP publication that that we used in our apprenticeship days, and it is a good book. It actually gives you all two stages. The first part is the introduction to blueprint reading, which you will learn the symbols. You'll learn all your all of the pertinent information about the floor plans and what they mean, and then you move yourself gradually into the second phase of that. So did you get that? Elmer Sunberg, Thomas E. Proctor.
Okay.
Okay. And that's
okay.
That's Building Trades, Print Reading Part 1 and 2.
Okay.
And they are located out of Illinois, I believe. And if you Google the book, I believe it would come up at the Library of Congress as well, and that should get you started. You have to become self-taught before you get out there and decide that you want to just, you know, like Mr. Porter said, you know, you find out what you need, all that you can on your own, and I think you need to, you know, if anything, you have to. You know, put yourself in a position to want to learn on your own first, and then after you've gotten a little more self information on your own, then I suggest you go to a trade school. We offer blueprint reading because we do a little bit more 21st century things, but that should answer your question. And the caller from New York, there is a organization called Professional Women in Construction. That group has a very sound group for women that want to be involved in the construction industry. New York is a union town, and so depending on your background, what is your background in construction right now?
Right now I'm just trying to become a general contractor.
Do you have any background
in
construction?
No, actually I don't.
Okay, see, this is
like
the,
I said, let me
explain something to you. In being a general contractor is easy because in one sense, but you want to define what part of general contracting you want to be. If you're in New York, it's best to your ability to go and get involved with the Professional Women Construction group that's there, and they host a series of seminars to learn about the construction industry altogether. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Then once you get to learn about the industry, you can choose into specialty groups. There's three individuals on here. One company does concrete work, and then another company does safety. And then we have another caller on here that actually is a second-generation contractor from out of Minnesota on here as well. So I suggest that you Google women in the Professional Women in Construction that's right there in New York. They're hosting a series of events right now. And then depending on what you want to do, if you want to do interior finishes, if you want to be a general contractor, it takes a lot. It takes years of experience to be a general contractor. So I think you should start off with a sub-trade. What do you like doing the most? Do you like painting? Do you like drywall? Do you like doing carpet? Do you like interior finishing? What do you like?
Actually, I'm pretty handy with tools, so I wouldn't mind doing painting and drywalling.
Okay, well then what I would suggest is we have an agreement that's been worked out with the Carpenters Local. You call the Carpenters Local and you tell them that you were part of the talk show with the National Coalition in Georgia. Okay? You tell them that the coalition is working with Mr. Gibbs, who was on last week, and they have an open door policy to come in and you want to talk to them about getting in one of their programs. Okay?
Okay.
All right. And what's your name?
Okay. My name is Laura.
Okay, Laura. Good luck to you.
All right. Thank you.
history. On this day, 120.09, see many roots grow tall like vines. For on this day, history has been made. For all pain and struggle should be buried in the grave. History, history is today's. I've seen it in such a beautiful way. Millions of people stand around to a man with powerful word of sound. At the top of the land to have a king, I pledge to say I have a dream. History, history, a great inspiration that builds up the nation throughout generations. As a black man to stand proud and free, that steadily keeps building up his family tree. A black president, we ask, how could this be? It's the faith in God that dwells on thee. From a small place to a big valley, history will come in such a great rally. From a small river to a big ocean, history will flow with such a great motion. History, history is today, no matter circumstance or situation. History is here to stay, a bad man in a bad situation. Success is screened for our nation. Barack Obama, an achieving man, our 44th president, yes, we can.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome sound sculptress Destiny.
Thank you. Yes, that's Hope on the Horizon. Listen to the pre-recorded show that was aired in 2008, and same thing that we were preaching and talking about, and talking with CEOs from across the country, very successful people. A couple of interviews that we had and roundtable discussions. We started building capacity, and this is Destiny Muhammad. I want to thank her and her team out of California. And Next Level, Mario Cole and his team out of Nashville, of course, Ayana, as well as young man named Arnell Brown that produced the history. So what I want you guys to do, tune in to the show. Some of these are going to be archive shows, but it's much needed, especially as we venture into the second quarter of 2012. Just building human capital networks and allowing ourselves to go through a process that understands that the industry which we are serving, which is contracting and construction, and any kind of business, you have to have human capital networks, social capital networks, financial capital networks, and more so now is corporate social firms who have the same type of beliefs that you have and build a network for those individuals. Like-minded individuals, like-minded conscious people who are awake, those who don't live in fear, and those who are fearless. I want to thank you guys for tuning in to the NCWCC Digital Online Broadcast Network. I also want you guys to know that Mario Coleman put a very strong video together for this past weekend, Global Service Month for Starbucks. So kind of tune into that in the next day or two. It will be coming up on YouTube, and we'll be getting a link out to you guys. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. And as always, everything that I have to come is God first and my family second. And I want to thank you guys for tuning in and tuning in again on Tuesday and Thursday as we start continuing to grab great shows. Great interview.